Welcome to Leader with Pastor John Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us today. We are doing a part two with Pastor Kevin Ramsby. Pastor Kevin, he leads a ministry called Fight to Forgive. Last week we talked about, if you didn't have a chance to watch last week, go back and watch it. One of the most powerful testimonies you'll ever hear. He was serving in inner city Detroit, pastoring. Somebody broke into his house on drugs, stabbed him 37 times, literally within an inch of his life. God spared him. Actually, a part that we didn't share last week, but I've heard this in the testimony. He literally had to take his inwards and hold them in to be able to get to the neighbor's house. And the miracle was he does get to the neighbor's house. He hits the doorbell. People come out. When the emergency folks come, they can't even discern whether he's white or black because he's so covered with blood. But the miracle was there was no drops of blood. There was a lot of blood that was on the kitchen floor, a lot of blood that was in the neighbor's house, but there was no blood in between the two houses. And so we kind of term that as it's the footprints in the hood, right? So God carried him from one place to the other. It's really a miraculous testimony. We're so honored to have you, Pastor Kevin. And listen, this Fight to Forgive ministry, today we're going to transition. Last week was talking about leaders being able to forgive. And sometimes that's people from the outside that wound us. And I think that you said so rightly, sometimes it's the betrayal of people that we thought were close, people that we thought we were in a relationship that betray or hurt us. Those can be the more difficult things to walk through. But forgiveness is not negotiable. It's a command. And it's freedom. When you learn to forgive and let things go, you can walk in freedom. So today we're going to really hone in on what your ministry is about. Fight to Forgive. They go to churches. They go to death row. I think you were just telling me that you call it from what you call death row to the CEO.
From the death row to, yep, that's right.
To the CEO. We all need it.
Right.
And so it works everywhere. When biblical principles are applied, it has a powerful effect. And so today we want to talk about, for pastors and leaders, man, we have congregations, and for years I've pastored, and I can tell you, Sally gets upset with Gertrude, and you know, somebody offended the other one, and they go years with offense, and we find this in our churches. And so today I want to talk about a culture of forgiveness in our churches, how we love, how we lead, the way we show kindness, and we really have a congregation that walks in forgiveness. It's easy to say it, and most every church and leader will say, "Oh yeah, we have that." But when but when you really do it, and it really is a part of the fabric of the church, it's not so easy. And so so today I want to talk to you about that. Listen, I'm going to throw this out. It's a softball that you can hit, but I think that the first step has to begin with that we can't lead a church into forgiveness if we're not walking and living in forgiveness.
Absolutely. You cannot ask people, expect people to follow you if you're not living it out yourself. I mean, it's the first principle of leadership. I mean, leadership is leading, and that means others are following. And so as a leader, we pave the way. Our staffs, that next level up, how we interact with each other, how we work through issues is the example our congregation will follow. And so it really is. It's a sure way to get some cancer spreading in a church or infect a church if, from the leadership perspective, if it's not being lived out, not only in the congregation, but at home, in personal relationship with your children, and as a lifestyle. Forgiveness is just, again, it's not something you do here or there. It is supposed to be who we are. We should be the most forgiving people in the world as a Christ follower.
Amen. You can't have healthy marriages in your church if people don't learn how to forgive, because listen, it will shut a marriage down because of things that happened years ago. And you know, and sometimes, listen, people will come in as new Christians and they just don't know anybody. It's just the way that they've lived. And then you find people that's been in church forever, And they have learned from patterns in the church of going, well, you know, you can say it with your lips that you forgive, but actually forgiving, you know, and so really getting to this nitty gritty of how you forgive and you walk through those steps. It's so vital. And so, so let's say I'm saying to you, you got maybe a married couple that comes in or two people in the church that are at odds. And here you are as the pastor. Some pastors just ignore it and they go, well, they'll figure it out. As a pastor leader, how do you go, no, we really need to, how do you lead people in such a way that they walk in this not being offended, this forgiveness, this kindness? Give us some help here.
Yeah. I wish there was a cookie cutter way to do this, but forgiveness is a lot like grief. It's messy. It's not a linear journey. It's not follow step one, step two, step three, step four. So what we've done and kind of our approach to forgiveness is we kind of have two phases. There's an initial phase, which we talk about is relational forgiveness. And that really is, it's following the forgiveness mandate of Ephesians 4:32. And again, forgiving just as God through Christ forgives us. And what we've done is we help people kind of go back to the cross and realize how much they have been forgiven. And it's so vital. And sometimes that takes, if you know, in a couple relationship with your dealing, sometimes that becomes a little one-off meeting with each person just to kind of, it's so vitally important for each one to recognize their forgiveness story. And what's amazing for me is when I look at how God forgives us, there's three aspects that jump out to me. And we actually kind of tell our story when we travel to churches and we share our story. Now we kind of, my wife helps with the sermon, and we kind of put these two big canvases up on a stage. And on one canvas, we're talking about all of the things that I need to forgive, because a lot of times it's not just what someone does, but you have to forgive the impact also, or the hurt that's created. And I think that's one of the things that you've got to shine. I think when you're dealing with forgiveness, it's so important to bring light into the darkness. And so many times we want to say, well, they cheated on me or they lied. We sum it up like, here's the act that was done. And I think as pastors, sometimes we think we're just addressing that one act. But that one act produces a wake or kind of a wave of just ongoing hurt and offenses and wounds that also every single one of them needs to be forgiven. And that really is where that record of wrongs is committed or begins to form. And or some people call it the grievance story, where it's kind of like, this is what they did, but this is what it's also produced. And so, you know, dealing with marriages, it's like, sometimes it's like, well, you know, I caught my husband watching pornography, struggling, or something gets exposed. And so like, sometimes as pastors, we just go, okay, we got a deal. You need to forgive him of that. But it goes so much beyond that. And if that woman or that other spouse does not be able to understand, okay, what are the emotional parts of forgiveness? You know, the anger, the resentment, the fear of the future, you know, how this has impacted me. And so what we do is we really start with creating this record of wrongs. We want everything to be brought into the light. We want everything from the offense to the person who needs to be forgiven and what impact that has created in their life. So there's nothing left. And so we kind of invite the Holy Spirit into the story. We ask the Holy Spirit to help us. And we say, Holy Spirit, show us, until we cannot list any more offenses on that record of wrongs or that piece of paper, we don't move forward. And so that might take meeting number two, or it's a homework assignment, but it's like, you don't come back until you put it all on this. You create the record of wrongs. And then from there, what we do is we really walk through that level one, that personal forgiveness of forgiving just as God through Christ forgives us. And so we kind of boil it down to three little quick aspects. One, we needed a substitution. God used Jesus. God through Christ is how we're forgiven. So we put Christ in the center. And, you know, so we need a substitution. So many times I think we as pastors, we say, hey, you need to forgive them. Forgiveness is a process. Forgive like God forgives us. It's a process. It's a choice. But biblically speaking, when I look at forgiveness, forgiveness is a transaction. It's transactional. It's where the blood of Christ is transferred into our sin account. And it's nothing that we can do. It's all because of the blood. I think when we can put God is our, Jesus is our substitution, even when it comes to forgiving others, what we're doing is we're saying, God, the same blood that forgives me of all my sins and all my, is the same blood that can cover and forgive the wrongs and wounds created against me. And so we try to coach people through the first part is, okay, let's, you might not be able to forgive, but as Jesus, can Jesus forgive them? And so we help walk them through the substitution aspect. And we do this on these canvases where we create these, all these wrongs in my story. And then we also created all my wrongs when I was growing up, when I first got saved from all the just horrible things I did. You've got a powerful testimony, Pastor John, where that can look pretty ugly, but we walk them through, okay, God forgives us through Jesus. But then the second part is the atonement. It's the covering. He covers those sins. He covers our wrongs. He covers those things with his blood. And so on the canvas, we cover all those things. And it's sometimes when you cover them, you know what? It bleeds through a little bit. But it doesn't mean that you haven't forgiven. It doesn't mean that you haven't forgiven. It's just sometimes it takes that reoccurring. I've got to keep going back to the cross, reapplying the blood to that. And so that's how we begin. So we really kind of walk through and help people understand how they have been forgiven. And that atonement, that covering, it really serves two purposes. The first purpose it covers is, it's again, it's the covering of the blood where it's Jesus Christ. But the second part is the atonement brings satisfaction to God. In other words, there's the anger, the wrath of God, because when someone sins again, there's a wrath. It creates emotion even in God, but through the covering of the blood, that satisfies that emotional side of God. And so what we do is we walk through that same process and we help them understand. Now, when you cover, it's not just so that there's those sins are covered, but it's also recognize that it that there's a satisfying that we have to deal with the emotional part. So we walk them through the atonement, and then the last part we walk them through is the forgetting aspect. And that's what I love about God's forgiveness is, and again, forgetting is not the absence of memory, but I love it how it's just, it's out of sight, out of mind, out of reach. You know, Isaiah 43:25, out of sight. He blots out those sins. That's what the blood does. He blots out those sins. Out of mind, it's letting go of all hope for a better past to embrace that future. So it's beginning to help them look forward. Then out of reach, again, as far as the east is from the west, God removes us. And so removes those sins and transgression. So we walk them through this process and we help them see how they have been forgiven. We walk them through their forgiveness story. Mm-hmm. And then we take the record of wrongs that they hold against somebody else. And now we go, what do you do? Forgive in the same way. And we walk them through an exercise where they'll have a canvas of themselves and they begin to, because we want to create that experiential moment so that they can walk away saying, okay, today I forgive. But that's just the starting. That's like the boxing match. The bell is rung. Now you're in the fight. But from there, then what we do is we walk through, there's an equipping I think that needs. And this is where I think as pastors, as we want to create houses of forgiveness. I love what one pastor, it might've been Mother Teresa said that, you know, I don't want to be a church that's just known as being a church, a house of the forgiven. But what if we became the house of the forgiving and we were known just as much for being forgiven as we are as forgiving those who have wronged and hurt us? And so it's the equipping part, and that's the part that takes time. So that's why we've created some work. We do a seminar. We've created a master class with Pastor Tim, Dr. R.T. Kendall are part of it. Where there's 12 different forgiveness principles that we've kind of have defined that through scripture and stories, because the Bible doesn't tell us how do you forgive. It just tells us you need to forgive every time, and you need to forgive every time. And there's nothing that you shouldn't forgive. And so, but when we looked at the forgiveness stories from Joseph to David to Jesus to Stephen through Ahithophel to Jephthah and scriptures, all these different examples, there's certain principles that people applied in their fight to forgive. And so we boiled them down to about 12 principles. And that's where we do the equipping. And so, because there's going to be moments that you're going to have to go back and re-forgive, and you're going to have to identify, okay, what do I need to do right now? Like one principle is trusting God. Well, sometimes it's, I got to go back to trust God and remember how God's been faithful. So for some other times, for another moment, it might be I'm hurting emotionally. Well, how do you treat the wounds that were created? So you might have to do some wound care in your life. And so we walk people and equip them through that process. And that's the longer part of the journey.
That is, you know what I love about what you're talking about is that there's a depth to it. First of all, it's biblical, which I think is powerful. It's not just psychobabble. What you're talking about is true biblical principles. It may not be laid out, like you say, verbatim. You can't go to some place in the Bible that has all 12 principles, but you have these patterns of what forgiveness is. And when it says forgive like Christ, now you're going, okay, the pattern is to forgive that way. And what we've done in the church is kind of like when I was a kid and I would get in, you know, fights with my cousins or whatever, and you get into a fight and then your mom or dad comes along and goes, hey, you forgive him. You forgive him. You kind of have that look on your face. It's like, all right, I forgive you. And then the other one does the same and they're like, now, hug. And then you kind of hug. But and then you go your ways, then you go, well, that's the way to forgive. And you're like, we've taught people how to forgive like that.
Yes. And you know, it's even a more, I think one of the indictments, I think, on the body of Christ I've discovered is it's amazing to see sometimes how the longer someone walks with Christ, how more difficult it is for them to forgive. You would think the longer you walk with Christ, the greater the ability to forgive because you're growing and you're maturing. But I found baby Christians new to Christ, because they've been forgiven so much, they forgive so easily, just like a natural born child. But the more you become and grow into adulthood, the more you hold on offenses, you hold on to grudges. And I think that's the part that I think is so hurting in the body of Christ, where I feel if you want to see revival, I think a key to revival is creating that culture of being a house of the forgiving, not just the forgiven. Yeah, and I've seen it as my personal testimony, Pastor John, where it's like I'm amazed at doors of opportunities to go, whether it's speaking at a Major League Baseball team's chapel service or all, you know, like what we do now almost monthly, we're going to death row and we're these doors have opened. I'm like, why are these doors opening? Here it is. I forgave like Christ forgave me. And God takes that forgiveness. How did my police officers that rescued me, what made them come to Christ? They literally would show up on Sundays on duty, standing in the back of the church for about 15 minutes, and then they would sneak off, to the point that each one of them then came to faith. And both of them said, we've watched your life for now literally over a year, and we've said, how does he forgive this guy and then stay in the same community, move back to his house, keep loving the same type of people, forgive this guy? And they said it so impacted our lives that they saw how God could forgive them through the lens of how I'm forgiving, just like God does, to my best strength.
Well, what they saw was, and which you are, a reflection of Jesus. That's what the body of Christ is. None of us have the total reflection, but all of us, as God works in our lives, we become a reflection. And I think that what you're talking about, and I agree with you 1,000,000%. Jesus did not say, how many people can you stuff into a room? He said to make disciples, and living and walking in forgiveness as Christ has forgiven us is a part of discipleship. It's a part of living like Christ, behaving like Christ. And when you live that way and you behave that way, and you know, you're talking about an awakening, spiritual renewal, making an impact in the society. But when people come to church and they see us divided and angry with each other, we can't forgive, we can't move forward, and they're like, okay, we actually do a better job of that in the bar than what you do at the church. It's a terrible witness. And so somewhere here we have to go, church, we got to learn what it is to walk and live in forgiveness, holding nothing against them. Like you mentioned, Stephen, I do not lay this to their charge. Yep. And the result of that is a Saul is standing by who very quickly now has this experience with Christ because we're showing the world, not just talking about what forgiveness is, we're showing them this is the power of forgiveness.
And I think that trend, and that's why for me, I'm such a proponent of a little bit of a shift, I think, in how we approach forgiveness as leadership in our bodies to this term transactional forgiveness. Because if you notice Stephen and even Jesus' examples, you notice they don't say, I forgive them. They're saying, Father, forgive them. They're saying, Lord, don't hold this sin against them. It's amazing how they use the substitution in how they forgive their unforgivables in the very moment that they were still suffering and going through it. It's just that transactional forgiveness and that substitution that cover, I think it's just a missing, I haven't heard it and seen it. And that's what became frustrating. What really, how this got birthed, Pastor, was when we were sent to a counselor, this was 3 months after our attack, and someone paid us big bucks to go see these really good counselors for a 4-day intense counseling. They make us take all these 500 question tests, me and my wife, and they sat down the next day after going through all the results, after reading our story, after coming up with all the conclusions of what they think we're going to be going through, and they leaned across the table and they go, what have you done over the last 3 months? And we're like, I don't know. And they're like, we looked at your results and there's hardly any sign of any traumatic event has ever taken place. There's just nothing that shows, and there's no way to trick these tests, lie your way through these tests. It's through your wife's test score and mine. And we said a couple things. We said, one, we forgave, and we forgave quickly. It doesn't mean that was a one and done. I hunted for the man months later because I didn't realize that forgiveness is a lifetime decision, not just a one-time decision. And so I got tripped up on pursuit of justice and all of that type of stuff. But we talked about how we quickly made a choice to forgive and to keep forgiving. And then two, we said we were part of a family. We were part of a church community, a local church that exemplified and walked out forgiveness. And you know, Pastor Tim, he is so big on forgiveness, on conflict resolution and how you do it. It was a culture. You don't sweep things under the rug. You confront, you overlook an offense, you cover wrongs. Whatever it is, you got to do one of those three. And I think that's another missing piece. We don't teach people. We stop at forgiving, but there's something else you need to do to kind of move on there. And so oftentimes you need to follow that forgiveness is you need to cover an offense, you overlook an offense, or sometimes you will confront. But confrontation, that is only going to take place when you're desiring reconciliation. It's not just for you to come clean with all of your feelings and emotions.
No, this is really good. And I think it's helpful to people that are out there. You know, a lot of us that are pastors and leaders, we don't have a doctorate in, you know, biblical counseling or whatever. Yeah. So when it comes to some of these areas, you know, how to lead people in these things, there can be those blind spots. And so this is, I believe that this is so helpful. You know, one thing, and you can speak to this, this is something that I believe that, you know, there's times that people are so easily offendable. And I'll say, like, hey, there are some things that you just need to go, everything is not worth the fight. But here's the thing, either put it under the blood of Jesus and move forward. But if you can't do that, then you need to confront it. And some things, I do think that sometimes you just go, every little time that somebody says something that's hurtful doesn't need to be a big dramatic production. But if you can't put it under the blood of Jesus and it stays in your craw or whatever, you follow the biblical directive where you go, hey, go to that person alone, tell them what the grievance or the hurt is. If they don't receive it, go with two or three, and then finally you take it to the leaders in the church. But what I love, and you just said this, because I think it's so true, not just so you can get your pound of flesh or tell the people how they've done you wrong, but the yep. the goal should be so that you can win a brother, so that you can that you can go through a true process of forgiveness. And then, and that we talked about this in the last podcast, there are many times that you can go on in relationship, and most things cover that. There are some things when it's been continual hurt, one after another, after another, after another. Hey, you lied to me one time, two times, 50 times, 100 times. You know, someplace you go, I love you, I forgive you, I just can't trust you. And so, sometimes you, but the goal should always be, at least try to be as much as you can in that place of forgiveness that loves.
I kind of, those three areas, I think for me, I can kind of use a little bit of my, usually when I'm first offended or wronged, my I phase one for me, I usually have to overlook the offense. And when I, that's Jesus's example, I think. I think when he chose, and Stephen, it started with Father. So you can choose to look up first, or you can look down, and down at your offenders, and you can look at them. And so Jesus overlooked. And so I think that's the looking up part. You overlook. You don't get focused in on the who, the what they did. Start with that. And so when it's hard to forgive someone, I start by over, like, so for me, at first, it was hard to forgive someone who nearly murdered you. And when you pled for your life, he came back and stabbed you again. And it was hard and difficult to do that. So for me, my first months, here's what my prayer was. Father, forgive him. He has no idea what he's doing. I was overlooking what he did, not sweeping it under the rug. I was recognizing he did something, but I'm looking to the Father. And I started with that substitution. I put God in there. And then sometimes the next thing, here it is, then you have to cover an offense. You cover with love. Peter talks about fervent love covers a multitude of sins. And so
that's good.
And love, if you don't cover, there's a great chance you're going to be offended again, because that offense is still just right there for you to look at, pick up again. You have to cover it with something. And so, and again, love is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is keeping no record on. It's not envying. So you can't get caught up with, they're going on about their life and I'm here stuck and I wish I, you know, we get caught up. So cover with love. And so, I think the majority of, when you talk about being offended easily, I think most offenses and wrongs, 98% should just be overlooked or covered. I don't think you have to confront. Confronting for me is, like you said, it's now this. Someone has wronged you. Someone has hurt you. You're going to show them their fault, not faults, where people... especially in counseling, when we're working with someone as a pastor or leading someone in our congregation, it's usually, if they're coming in as a couple, it's we're in the confronting stage. But how quickly, but how quickly in that confronting stage, it goes from addressing one fault to a history of faults. And the moment a fault becomes false, we just lost it. There's no going back. And so it's so important to help deal with one fault at a time. And you deal it, you resolve it, you show them, again, with goal of reconciliation, winning them over, and you go from there. And sometimes when people have not done conflict resolution good, not have, they have that history of unforgiveness, sometimes those, it's walking through a lot of faults, but they're one at a time. And that's the time-consuming part. So that's why we created that course, because our goal is to equip people how to do this so that they can make it a practice. It's like forgiveness is a spiritual muscle, and you have to begin exercising it so that the moment you need it, you're strong enough to be able to put it into practice.
Pastor Kevin, this is so good. I think this is a great conversation for pastors and leaders, both in the first podcast that we did, and just talking about how we keep our hearts clean. And then in this one, to lead people. Fight to Forgive is the name of your book. Comes with a Bible study. And let me just throw this out, because Pastor Kevin's not doing this, so I will. If you would like for Pastor Kevin to come to your church and you say, hey, I would love for you to come and do this, what do you call it?
It's the forgiveness experience.
The forgiveness experience. And you would like to have that at your church, contact him. He will come and speak, preach for you. Or you could get the book and the materials from him. That's at fighttoforgive.com.
.com, yep. Okay. Yep, you can go fighttoforgive.com.
And it will really help you in teaching and leading. Listen, what you've been through, Pastor Kevin, I think is one of the most brilliant testimonies, the internal story of what you walked through. Not just as a, you know, for me, I went through a lot before I was a Christian, and I have dealt with some interactions with Christians. But the brutality of what you walk through and then being able to forgive, there's such a message of hope and forgiveness and the life of Christ. It really teaches us how to be that witness in a world that can offend us, in a world that hates us, in a world that's against us. And if we don't process those things and let them go, then we live with it. And I think you said in the last podcast, then it becomes torment. And that is for us as leaders, but also the people that live in our ministries that we lead. They are living in torment. And somewhere we have to be able to speak to those issues so that they can walk in the freedom that Jesus wants them to walk in.
Amen.
Any last words you want to give to the folks that are watching today?
Just keep fighting to forgive. It is worth the fight.
Amen. Amen. I want to pray, Father, thank you so much for Pastor Kevin. Lord, for Fight to Forgive. Lord, for the work that he's doing on death row with prisons. I pray, God, that there are people inside the four walls of a prison, Lord, that are bound. Lord, but there are also people that are in need of freedom that are outside those four walls, Lord, that walk freely every day, but God, inside they're bound. I pray, God, that Fight to Forgive would have a powerful impact in the church, in our ministries, and us personally. We thank you, God, for the time that he spent with us. Bless him and the work that you've called him to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor Kevin, thank you for being with us. Again, if you would like to support his ministry, you can go to Fight to Forgive. You can also come to worldchallenge.org. We support his ministry. Anything that you give to us will forward right on to him and the work that he's doing. And it's exciting to partner with people like Pastor Kevin Ramsby in ministry. He is a good friend. God has used him in a powerful way. So listen, click like. Subscribe if you would. You can share this with somebody that either has gone through some hurt or maybe a pastor or leader friend that you have that this would be helpful in leading in their ministry. Church, we want an awakening. We want a spiritual awakening. This is one of those areas that we need to learn to forgive, fight to forgive. We need a culture of forgiveness in the body of Christ, and it will stand as a testimony for the glory of God. Thank you for being with us. Have a great day. We'll see you next week on Leader to Leader with Pastor John Bailey.